to find all the dodos in a vicinity, you had only to catch one and set it to squawking, and all the others would waddle along to see what was up. The indignities to the poor dodo didn't end quite there. In 1755, some 70 years after the last dodo's death, the director of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford decided that the institution's stuffed dodo was becoming unpleasantly musty, and ordered it tossed on a bonfire. This was a surprising decision, as it was by this time the only dodo in existence, stuffed or otherwise. A passing employee, aghast, tried to rescue the bird, but could save only its head and part of one limb. As a result of this, and other departures from common sense, we are not now entirely sure what a living dodo was like. We possess much less information than most people suppose, a handful of crude descriptions by unscientific voyagers, three or four oil paintings, and a few scattered osseous fragments, in the somewhat aggrieved words of the 19th century naturalist H.E. Strickland. As Strickland wistfully observed, we have more physical evidence of some ancient sea monsters and lumbering sauropods than we do of a bird that lived into modern times and required nothing of us to survive except our absence. So what is known of the dodo is this. It lived on Mauritius. It was plump, but not tasty, and was the biggest ever member of the pigeon family, though by quite what margin is unknown, as its weight was never accurately recorded. Extrapolations from Strickland's osseous fragments and the Ashmolean's modest remains show that it was a little over 2.5 feet tall and about the same distance from beak tip to backside. Being flightless, it nested on the ground, leaving its eggs and chicks tragically easy prey for pigs, dogs, and monkeys brought to the island by outsiders. It was probably extinct by 1683, and was most certainly gone by 1693. Beyond that, we know almost nothing, except, of course, that we will not see its like again. We know nothing of its reproductive habits and diet, where it ranged, what sounds it made in tranquility or alarm. We don't possess a single dodo egg. From beginning to end, our acquaintance with animate dodos lasted just 70 years. That is a breathtakingly scanty period, though it must be said that by this point in our history, we did have thousands of years of practice behind us in the matter of irreversible eliminations. Nobody knows quite how destructive human beings are, but it is a fact that over the last 50,000 years or so, wherever we have gone, animals have tended to vanish, in often astonishingly large numbers. In America, 30 genera of large animals, some very large indeed, disappeared practically at a stroke after the arrival of modern humans on the continent between 10 and 20,000 years ago. Altogether, North and South America between them lost about three-quarters of their big animals once man the hunter arrived with his flint-headed spears and keen organizational capabilities. Europe and Asia, where the animals had had longer to evolve a useful wariness of humans, lost between a third and a half of their big creatures. Australia, for exactly the opposite reasons, lost no less than 95%. Because the early hunter populations were comparatively small, and the animal populations truly monumental, as many as 10 million mammoth carcasses are thought to lie frozen in the tundra of northern Siberia alone, some authorities think there must be other explanations, possibly involving climate change or some kind of pandemic. As Ross McPhee of the American Museum of Natural History put it, "There is no material benefit to hunting dangerous animals more often than you need to. There are only so many mammoth steaks you can eat." Others believe it may have been almost criminally easy to catch and clobber prey. "In Australia and the Americas," says Tim Flannery, "the animals probably didn't know enough to run away." Some of the creatures that were lost were singularly spectacular and would take a little managing if they were still around. Imagine ground sloths that could look into an upstairs window, a tortoise is nearly the size of a small Fiat, monitor lizards 20 feet long basking beside desert highways in Western Australia. Alas, they are gone, and we live on a much diminished planet. Today, across the whole world, only four types of really hefty, a metric ton or more, land animals survive. Elephants, rhinos, hippos, and giraffes. Not for tens of millions of years has life on Earth been so diminutive and tame. The question that arises is whether the disappearances of the Stone Age and disappearances of more recent times are in effect part of a single extinction event, whether, in short, humans are inherently bad news for other living things. The sad likelihood is that we may well be. According to the University of Chicago paleontologist David Raup, the background rate of extinction on Earth throughout biological history has been one species lost every 4 years on average. According to one recent calculation, human-caused extinction may now be running as much as 120,000 times that level. In the mid-1990s, the Australian naturalist Tim Flannery, now head of the South Australian Museum in Adelaide, became struck by how little we seem to know about many extinctions, including relatively recent ones. Wherever you looked, there seemed to be gaps in the records. Pieces missing, as with the dodo, or not recorded at all, he told me when I met him in Melbourne a year or so ago. Flannery recruited his friend Peter Shooten, an artist and fellow Australian, and together they embarked on a slightly obsessive quest to scour the world's major collections to find out what was lost, what was left, and what had never been known at all. They spent 4 years picking through old skins, musty specimens, old drawings and written descriptions, whatever was available. Shooten made life-sized paintings of every animal they could reasonably recreate, and Flannery wrote the words. The result was an extraordinary book called A Gap in Nature, constituting the most complete and, it must be said, moving catalogue of animal extinctions from the last 300 years. For some animals, records were good. But nobody had done anything much with them, sometimes for years, sometimes forever. Stella's sea cow, a walrus-like creature related to the dugong, was one of the last really big